Good morning, Crossroads. How are you doing this morning? All right, my name is Ed Applegate. I'm one of the pastors here. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for a beautiful morning. Lord, you give us life and breath and everything else, and we thank you for that. Lord, we celebrate, but we also mourn with those who mourn, and this morning our thoughts turn to First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, in that town, as they grieve and they mourn. We just pray that your comfort, your peace, your strength would come upon them, Lord. Bring light out of the darkness. Bring good from this evil act, Lord, for your glory. And Lord, we need you this morning. We come into this building, we're broken, we need encouragement, we need your word. And so as we open your word, speak to us. And Lord, as we now take the offering, we give back to you of what you have so generously entrusted to us. And we pray that you would use this, that more people would see your light, more people would come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm so glad you're here this morning. And if you're here for the first time or you're new around here, we'd love to meet you in our Merge Ministry just upstairs outside the Nightingale Coffee. The team there would love to hear your story, get to know you a little bit, and also help you merge into life here at Crossroads. So if you're new, go ahead and head up there after service. We'll give you a free coffee too for doing so. That'd be awesome. So we're in week two of our series, Generous. And we're discovering that generosity is much more than what we do with our wallets. Generosity is about learning to be. And we heard about that last week. It's about being willing to do, and it's also about being eager to give. And generosity is so important for us, and this series is such a vital series for us because generosity says a lot about who we are. As Pastor Brian said last week, generosity is the most obvious sign that what we say we believe about Jesus actually matches up with what we do. And let me tell you this, you will not want to miss next week. We asked you at the end of service last week to give $5 towards something special that we wanted to do, and we did that this past week, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. You will not want to miss out on that, so be here for that. But this week, we're going to be talking about being willing to do, how our generosity is with our actions in serving one another. So would you open your Bibles with me to John chapter 13? You can open up your Crossroads app and for the sermon notes there. So we'll be there in just a second in John chapter 13. But when we think about being willing to do, being a servant, I can't think of a better example this weekend than our veterans, who are willing to put themselves in harm's way because we know that freedom isn't free. So if you're a veteran here this morning, would you just stand for a moment? We want to appreciate you. We want to thank you for your service. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I also think when I think of being willing to do, our volunteers around here. You might not know about this, but our church has grown to, now we have about 2,300 people walk through our doors on a weekend, okay? That's a lot of people. It's pretty awesome, huh? Yeah. And you might not know this too. We have 29 paid staff as a church. Most of those are part-time, and most of those do not work on a Thursday night or a Sunday morning, okay? So you can imagine, with that many people turning up, we'd be in a world of hurt if it wasn't for an amazing army of volunteers around here. Just in Kids City alone, okay, to make Kids City happen on a weekend, it takes 134 volunteers. Can you believe that? So we, just thank you. If you're a volunteer here this morning and you serve in any capacity around here, thank you. This place doesn't open its doors without you. Now, you might be wondering if you're not a volunteer around here, maybe you're just checking out the church, or maybe you're just checking out God as a whole, and that's great. I am so glad that you are here. But you might wonder, well, what would motivate somebody to, you know, give their time to serve others. You know, maybe they do it to get brownie points in heaven, you know. Brownies are free in heaven, so that's not why they do it. Maybe they do it because God needs servants. You know, he's dependent. No? Acts 17 says this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." You see, God's our oxygen supply. So we don't serve him, he serves us. Even when you're slobbering on your pillow at night, God is serving you. Our God is a servant. God doesn't need servants. So are these volunteers just really nice people? No, they're not. No, actually, they are. They are. Really, what's happened is they've discovered something significant, something that Jesus teaches his disciples here in John 13. In this chapter, we get to be a little bit of a fly on the wall of Jesus and his disciples the night before he goes to his death on the cross. See, the disciples are gathered secretly in an upstairs room. Follow with me as I read verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Man, may that be said of us, that we love to the end. That's how our God loves. The evening meal was in progress, it says. The disciples are chatting around the table. You know, Peter is giving James a little stick about the latest Dodgers loss. Thomas spilled his water again, and, you know, there's just this, actually, truthfully, what we're told is that right before this, the disciples have been having an argument with each other about who is the greatest, and things had got really tensed among them as they debated which of them was the best disciple and who should be closest to Jesus. And so the atmosphere that night's probably pretty tense around that table. And John tells us, actually, there's something really significant brewing. It says the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So Judas is getting ready to hand over Jesus, and the devil thinks he's got the upper hand. But Jesus knew better. In fact, verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal. What's he going to do? I mean, it's like it's been a bad day at work. You come home and all you want is a nice quiet dinner and watch Stranger Things. But the kids are bickering about whose burp is the loudest. And then suddenly you just stand up, right? All the eyes are on you. Things get quiet. What's he gonna say? It's like that here in John 13, except here you've got a man who knows he has all the power in the universe. And he is facing a cosmic battle of epic proportions. And he knows that tomorrow he is going to face an excruciating death. And his men, his team, that he's been pouring his 3 years of his life into, they're bickering about who's the greatest. You got to think he's going to let them have it. I mean, I would have a few choice words. But that's me, not Jesus. He got up from the meal, it says. He took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. What kind of person of authority has ever done anything like that? I mean, the revelations of recent weeks from Hollywood tell us what people of power can stoop to. But Jesus, he stoops to washing feet. The disciples, they would have been stunned. And it wasn't just because Jesus was seeing their hammer toes. You see, this job was for the lowest of all the servants. And none of the disciples had wanted to do it for fear that they would admit that they were lower than someone else. So it became that kind of dirty dishes in the sink moment. You know, who's going to do the dirty job? Who's going to flinch first? And nobody had. See, because usually this was done right before the meal, but we're into the meal now, and nobody's flinched. Who steps down to it? Jesus. The greatest great doing the lowest low. This task was for the lowest of the low because these feet were dirty. We're talking the kind of filth that comes from walking in sandals in streets where the transportation system pooed every couple of blocks. And if that wasn't enough, there was no sewer system. And so people would literally throw their own sewage out of their windows, sometimes out of the second story. Think about that for a second. So these sandaled feet were disgusting. In fact, this job was considered so foul that in some Roman towns, they actually banned it that you could make your servant wash feet. It was such a foul task. And here, the hands that flung stars into space, begins wiping manure off men's feet. That's the character of our God. There is no other story like this in any religion. No other God or leader is ever told of doing such an action. This is our God, the God who left the glory of heaven to be born as a baby and laid in an animal's feeding trough. This is our God who authored life, and he embraces death on our behalf. He's a servant. He's a servant. And how he loves us. One of the disciples, Peter, he sees this happening and his mind is just frying. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." He can't handle it. I mean, sure, yeah, a servant, you can wash my feet anytime. But Jesus, my Lord, my teacher, no, never. But Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And I get it. I mean, if Peter's feet smell like poo, I'm not hanging around him either. No, that's not what Jesus is saying here. As he so often did, Jesus is giving a visual illustration of something spiritual. You see, Peter needs Jesus to clean him of his sin. It's the only way. And the same goes for you and for me. See, Jesus must serve you. See, Jesus is going to come round to the table to you. He has come round to the table to you. And he's going to say, "I need to clean you." Are you open to that? To take off the sandals of your soul and show him the garbage in your life. The smell of jealousy, the filth of bitterness, the dirt of lust. We could go on. You've got to take off the sandals and show it to him. We must. And he, the Lord of the universe, says he must not only see it, he must stoop and clean it. Not to condemn, not to shame, but to wipe it clean, that you may walk with him forever. You've got to let him stoop and clean your soul and serve you, because he's the only one who can. And there's no being with him if he doesn't. So it says Peter relents in verse 9. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Gotta love Peter, right? It's all or nothing. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. When you come to Jesus for the first time, he washes you clean. And there's daily confession and that daily cleanup, if you like, but you're clean. And he says, and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes. He returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. Everyone's in stunned silence. I mean, they can't believe what just happened. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus' lesson is simple. We do because of what he has done. We do because of what he has done. What has he done? Two things. Firstly, the greatest great, Jesus, the Lord of the universe, has done the lowest low. That means there's nothing off the table of how we should serve each other. We're above nothing. And there's nothing that we should not be willing to do for one another. Nothing. And secondly, if we are a Christ follower, what has he done? He has made us clean. We're clean. We're free. We can walk in freedom. We don't have fear. We don't have shame. No condemnation. We can walk in freedom. And those who truly get that, go, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like you. You're my hero. And so we become servants and serve each other gladly. See, we do because of what he has done. In small ways and big ways. You know, the things volunteers do around here, it's pretty awesome. From building websites to putting in this seriously cool raising and lowering TV. Have you seen that thing? There's a big hole down there that you're just going to pray I don't fall down. To being baby whisperers, to being a security team that you don't even know exists and that they're out there. To helping homeless get showers and meals, to serving coffee, to the countless acts of service that none of us will ever know about because it's done just for the audience of God alone. We do because of what he's done. You know, last month in response to Hurricane Harvey, a team of Crossroadians stepped up. They gave up a week's vacation off of work and a week away from their family. And they went to Texas to serve families there and help them in their recovery. Check out this video.
The estimates are 100,000 homes flooded in the Houston area. 80% of those didn't have flood insurance. They didn't need it because they weren't in flood zones.
You guys have been so helpful in being connected with a church called New Hope Church right down here in the Houston area. You have given to that. Actually, a team is already here right now serving, taking care of houses to people that you may never meet and we may never meet again, but we're being the hands and feet of Christ as we're supposed to, as Jesus called us to. I wanted you to have a little connection with this church and to have you have a chance to meet the senior pastor at New Hope, Pastor Tim Liston.
Yeah, and I appreciate your help, church, and you know, the money you sent and also the people that you've sent. Anything that a person does in serving helps to save money. For instance, would be, this is one of the houses that we did, but to tear out the wet sheetrock and get the flooring up and so forth. That saved the people that we helped on average $13,500 per home. And then we got churches like y'all showing up and cleaning up and getting this home ready for drywall to go back in and flooring to go back in. So that's sweat equity. That's serving. That's generosity. A wild example is we sent a team out to a house. We gave them the address, sent them to a house. They knock on the door. The homeowners let them in. They say, we're here to clear out your house. And they said, oh, thank you. So the team cleared out that house. And then when they got done, they were just going to have them sign a piece of paper and said, we've cleared out this home. And they gave it to them, and it was the wrong house. And they said, wait a minute, this is not our house. You've come to the wrong house. He said, we were wondering why you wanted to help clear out our house. And they said, that's okay. It's our gift from our church to you to clear out your house. And so then they went to the right address. Well, that family was so touched by that that the very next weekend they're in church. And when I prayed the prayer to help us get in people's homes, I never thought I would be behind somebody's toilet, ripping out drywall, laying on the floor. But we got into people's homes, and the people that we've helped, I hope, have been touched. I know they have. And the people who have served have been helped. So it's been a win-win.
Crossroads, I'm very proud of you as a church. Proud that I'm with a team of 10 down here serving in the middle of humidity. My hair is a mess. But I am just so pumped to be a part of this congregation because you are a generous church. I can't wait to see what the future is going to hold for us. Tim, thank you so much for letting us be part of your story. It's a blessing.
Thank you, church.
Thank you so much. All right, guys. God bless you. Tag, you're in.
So cool. So cool. We do because of what he has done. He's the greatest great. He did the lowest of the low, and so we serve. You see, if Crossroads is your home church, you should be on the playing field around here. It's time to stop playing armchair quarterback and thinking or rating how good Pastor Ed was today or not. You know, because I don't really care, to be honest. Because this is about the church being the church. It's not about Pastor Ed or anybody on this stage. Because our God has set the pace. The greatest great did the lowest of low. We're going to give you a chance this morning to jump in, to find a place to serve. But if you're anything like me, as the opportunity presents itself, you may be thinking one of these things. You may be thinking, I'm not really qualified. Join the club. Abraham lied. Moses stuttered. David had an affair. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. Naomi was a widow. Jonah ran from God. Thomas doubted. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. And Samson, he had long hair. As it's been said, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He qualifies the called. You know, sitting there at the table that night, Jesus knew. He knew who he was. He knew that he had all the power in the universe. He knew where he had come from, and he knew where he was going, and so he got up from the table and served. So you know you've been cleaned. You know that your destiny is heaven. And you've got a chance to get up from the table and serve, to make a difference with your life. What are you supposed to do around here? I don't know. I can't tell you specifically, but I can tell you this. Just as like you won't find a job sitting on the couch, a place to serve isn't going to fall into your lap. The best way to figure it out is just to try serving and see how God leads you. Some may be thinking, the church doesn't need me. You know, and I can understand someone saying this. You know, you walk in here on a weekend and everything is working. It's awesome. And we have much appreciated volunteers who make that happen. But let me tell you this. People are serving in multiple capacities, going above and beyond to serve you. And if you haven't noticed, we're growing. And we are poised for great things. It's a great time to join in and join the team. Some might be thinking, well, I don't really have the time. And I get it, because life is busy, right? I mean, I use the same reason to say no to a lot of things. However, I think all of us could find an hour a week or a couple hours a month to serve others here at the church. And in fact, I believe that serving actually gives back time to us in the sense of the fulfillment that we get from it. You see, Jesus finishes his lesson saying this, verse 17, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You will be blessed, happy, fulfilled, have a sense of the favor of God. That's what it means. And it's funny, the millions of dollars and the countless hours that are spent trying to find happiness. And Jesus says, actually, guys, it's really, really simple. Serve others. Serve, and you will be blessed. Oh, man, I want more people to experience that. I want our volunteers to experience that around here, to see a kid's eyes light up, to know that you're making a difference and meeting a deep need, to see that you're part of something bigger than yourself. See, your Lord, Jesus, says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Today's the day to jump in and serve. More on that in just a moment. You see, on that same night that Jesus cleaned his disciples' feet, he also took a cup and a loaf of bread for us to remember his ultimate act of service, the act of service that actually makes us clean, the service that he went to the cross to clean us of all unrighteousness. See, Jesus said this himself in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Your ransom is paid. You've been made clean because he came not to be served, but to serve. And he gave his all. So we take communion together this morning. We remember what he has done. And we're thankful. The plates are going to pass in just a moment, and those two cups are stacked there. Take the two cups, and we'll take communion together in just a few moments. But as the cups are passed, take this time. This is a time where you can come before God and do business with him, to confess and get that cleansing of the soul, to take off the sandals of your soul and say, "Lord, here's what's going on. Clean me." It's a time to be thankful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you that you went all the way. You loved to the end to make us clean so that we could walk with you forever. We're broken. We're sinners. None of us here could pretend to come before you worthy. But you went to the cross, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus knew that freedom wasn't free. He knew that we were in a world of hurt, facing forever without him, and we needed somebody to clean us. And so he stooped from heaven to earth to give his life for us. And he said on that very night when he washed the disciples' feet, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." So let's eat in remembrance of him. And then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin. Drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, thank you. We are sinners, and you gave your life to save us. Thank you. Amen. There's two applications as we walk away from this service tonight. Firstly, if you're already serving around here, thank you. Thank you so much. Literally, our doors wouldn't open without you. But here's what I want to say to you. Tap somebody on the shoulder. Invite them to join you. Invite them to discover what you've discovered, the blessing of serving. Don't say no for them by not even asking. Ask, invite. Consider the blessing that they're going to get out of it. And if you're not serving, in a few moments, we're gonna have six of our main ministries around here. Leaders from those ministries are going to just give a short presentation about how you could be involved in their ministry. We're going to end service about 10 minutes early, okay? And we don't want you to go get your kids yet, so if you're just going to walk out, don't go get your kids. They still got the rest of their lesson. We want them to have a great time at the end of their class. But we're going to have 10 minutes or so for you to hear how you might get involved around here. Leaders representing our Kids City. What an awesome, awesome thing that Kids City team is, helping our zeros through sixth graders learn about Jesus. We've got our music team. Man, what a great job they do leading us and the high school and junior high and all our elementary in worship every weekend. We got so many teams and so many opportunities for you to get involved there. Our production team, who run our lights and our cameras and our videos and all of that awesome tech stuff. Our first impressions team, who greet and usher and pass you communion and just make sure everything runs really smooth around here. Our outreach opportunities, incredible things this church is doing beyond this four walls, the people of this church, and you can jump in and be a part of that. Even our turkey bowl, which is happening in just a couple of weeks, you can hear about that and how you can make a difference in hundreds of men, literally hundreds of men, hearing the gospel. So pick one of these ministries. Oh, I forgot student ministry. I can't forget you guys. Sorry. Awesome. These are your bosses of the future, these students. So better get to know them now, okay, and get in their good books and make a difference in a life that's going to go on for a long time. What an awesome place to serve. So pick one. If you're already involved in one of those, go to that station, okay? Support your team in a sense, and maybe you could even help others answering some questions about it. But let me say this, if you love our church, if you've been blessed here, take a moment to see how you can make a difference. This is like being able to do your homework in class, you know? We're not making you go home and look at a website or something like that, though you can. But this is like, we're giving you a free 10 minutes to go check out a way that you could serve. In your bulletin or as you came in this evening, you received one of these blue cards. Hold on to that. You can fill that out. And then there's baskets at the back on either side, just before the double doors there, that you can drop those in. You know, for some of you, walking into church can be a really daunting experience. You know, it's kind of like taking your kids to a birthday party. I hate doing that. I hate it. So don't make me, please. My wife usually takes the hit for the team, so I'm really, really glad about that. But it's interesting to me because why do I hate that experience? You know, I love coming to church and just talking to anybody. I maybe had never met you before, and I love just talking and finding out about you. But put me in a birthday party, and I just, like, freeze. I hate it. You know, you take your kid, they start going playing with their friend, and you pick up some nachos, and you're just sitting there just waiting for the time to go by. You're like, really? Come on. When can I reasonably, like, go without being rude, you know? But then I figured it out. I figured out why. It's because I didn't have a role at the birthday party. I didn't have anything to do. And so now I just walk into a birthday party with a different mindset. I give myself a role. Okay? Just step up and I do something. And then you know what? I don't hate it anymore. You know, the same thing can happen at church. You know, when I got into junior high, I was raised in the church. When I got into junior high, I just started hating going. I didn't like junior high. the junior high group. It was large, and I didn't really feel like I was belonged anywhere. You know, I was a nerd, still am really. And then the best thing ever happened. It's in junior high, and this high schooler named Seth Degnan invited me onto the lighting team. Man, that was super cool. There was electricity, a lot of it. There was design, and there was tools, and there was technology, and I got to work hard, and I had a posse, the lighting crew, and we drank tons of Mountain Dew, and we called ourselves the Dew Crew. It sounded cool in junior high. And guess what? You could not keep me away from junior high after that. I was there all the time. I was down there during the week designing lights and doing all sorts of stuff. I loved it. I had a role. I felt part of something larger than myself. I was making a difference. See, you got that chance today to belong and to be part of something, making a difference for your Lord. You see, your Savior, the greatest great, did the lowest low to show us how to live and how to be blessed. See, we do because of what He has done. We do because of what He has done. So we're going to give you a couple minutes to find your place. The music's going to play, and then the music will stop after just a couple minutes, and you can kind of listen to a leader and figure out, hey, is this the place I want to serve? Okay? If you're going to leave, leave, but don't go get your kids yet, okay? All right. On your marks, get set, go.
To find out how you can get involved here at Crossroads, please visit crossroadsgrace.org/volunteer.